I always, you know, and I'm going to have some Protestant guilt about this. You heard about Catholic guilt, you heard about Jewish guilt. Protestant guilt is just as good too. You know, a Protestant guilt is probably even stronger because they perfected it. You know, there was Jewish guilt, then the Catholics came and they perfected on Jewish guilt, and then the Protestants came through the Reformation. We perfected on the other two guilts. Forget it, you want guilt? I always feel guilty about shortchanging the libraries. Sorry, Mom. Sorry, Mom, about this guilt thing. But we do, and I don't want to shortchange the libraries anymore. They will share with each other. Jane Summers, who was a longtime librarian in the upstate area, retired last year. I asked Charlie to go to her retirement party on our behalf. She was presented with an appreciation certificate from the Lieutenant Governor's office. We also presented her with a little token just to say thank you. So Jane has retired. The library, however, is being represented today. The two presenters will divide their time accordingly. Mark McCluskey and Cynthia Fistucci? Yes, she will announce. She will pronounce herself. McCluskey is not spelled the same way, but it's pronounced like my daughter and son-in-law, so I can do that. Whoever of you is senior, they will both be here, introduce themselves, and do what they have to do for the next. Wow, 25 minutes. Here you go, folks. Thank you very much, librarians. You are.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, Carl. Good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to be with the NFB once again. I had the pleasure to talk to a group downstate in the spring for an evening presentation at Sellis Manor. Many of you were there. I recognize you. I still have laugh lines around my eyes. I am still dashingly handsome. And that's the last time I'll try to get mileage out of that joke. I'll start with the best news. I'm the new head of the Andrew High School Braille and Talking Book Library. Oh, then I start to shake. I get mic fright. So I'm Robert McBrien's replacement, and I'm still getting used to a whole lot of it. It still seems quite new to me. But I do have some good news that I can start right off with. All right, it sounds like it's humming, so maybe I will try holding it. Is that better?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Courtesy of the City of New York budget for this year, we were able to add public service hours at the Andrew High School Braille and Talking Book Library, so that we now are open for a full day of service on Saturdays, and we were able to add a second evening. And I'm shortchanging Wednesdays, because we used to just do telephone service on Wednesdays, and now we are open to the public for a full day of service on Wednesdays as well. So that's our good news. That's our best news. There. I've been spending a huge amount of my time trying to address technology issues at the Andrew High School Braille and Talking Book Library. A lot of our technology was old. A lot of our technology was in state of disrepair. These are largely things like the Kurzweil machines, a lot of the adaptive technology and assistive things that we have in the building. Working with an IT department is a lot of fun. So this has been where I have really spent a large amount of time, not only trying to improve how we interact with IT so that they're a little bit more responsive to our needs, so that they understand a little bit more about the technology, but also working with our development office so that we can identify some funds to update and replace some of this equipment. So that's where a lot of my effort has been over the summer. But one of the things that NFB, I think, will particularly appreciate is that among the inroads that we're making with the IT department, they really want to come down to Baltimore, and they want to see that lab that you have down there. I had the pleasure of, it's worth a round of applause. Give yourself a clap. At the NLS conference in Baltimore this year, they took us through, and when James Mao from our technology department said, well, gee, where can we actually go and get a broad sampling of what is available to see out there and get a sense of how it operates, I was able to tell him firsthand, oh man, you've got to see this place. So we just got the approval to go ahead and do that, and we will be in touch, probably it'll be James, we'll be in touch with NFB in the near future, and we're looking forward to that trip to see what we can, I want to say lust for, what we can lust for in terms of technology, and then figure out if we can get the Royce Foundation to pay for it. My notes are not in any particular sensible order. I've also been working on outreach efforts. One organization that we've identified and are entering into partnership with is the Foundation Fighting Blindness. They work principally for raising funds to identify cures for blindness and ailments leading to blindness. They have a wonderful distribution network, and we're counting on working with them to get the word about Talking Book Service out to a greater number of people. They work a lot with physicians. They work a lot with funders who give money to hospitals. And so we're hoping to be able to place things in physicians' offices and really expand knowledge of the service, because it's amazing the number of people, even in the library community, who are not familiar with National Library Service and what we do. And also among the outreach efforts, we're in early days, but I am looking forward to pioneering a Braille literacy program at the Andrew High School Braille and Talking Book Library. This was something that Carl Jacobson brought up when I was at Sellis Manor, and I haven't really talked with him further about that other than to say, yes, we are very interested, and hopefully we will move forward with that as we enter into the new year. All right, so that's Andrew High School Braille and Talking Book Library. From the National Library Service, I wanted to share a little bit of information with you about a new program, which you folks probably already know all about. BARD, you all up on this? The Braille and Audio Reading, Readable Downloads? Digital Downloads. I'll talk to you about it. It was introduced as a pilot project wherein the NLS made available its digitally recorded holdings for download in their NLS specialized format, and it was just originally going out to something like 100 testers. They have expanded the pilot program now, and it can be accessed by anybody who purchases a third-party reader. The Victor Reader Stream is the only machine out there right now that reads the format. You need to set up an account, which you can do through your regional library, and then you do need to buy the piece of equipment yourself. We do not have the resources to pay for the Victor Reader Streams. And you can then access and download the holdings of the NLS that have been recorded digitally. Now, this is a bit of a two-edged sword, and NLS has actually been encouraging us to not speak too frequently or be too encouraging about this. There's a very, very real risk that if everybody goes the route of buying Victor Reader Streams and doing downloads, that the federal government will see this as a rationale to not fund fully the digital talking book machine, which would, of course, be available free. So be aware of it, know about it, but do continue to
buy those streams.
Well, yeah, you can buy the streams, but just also to continue to encourage the federal government to support the Digital Talking Book Project. Okay. Which brings us sort of to another funding-related issue. One thing that I really did not realize when I came into this position was that the state support for the Andrew High School Braille and Talking Book Library has not budged since 1990. It's the same dollar amount. This is the level of funding that supports the reader's advisors. These are the people who answer the phones and give you the service over the phone. This is what their salaries come from. And correspondingly, the number of reader's advisors at the Andrew High School Braille and Talking Book Library has dropped substantially over the last few years. It's really important to make this need known to your elected officials, and to we need to get this on track. I'll do what I can for you with what I got, but I need some folks to answer these phones. Well, Cynthia has the really exciting thing to talk about, and the really exciting thing to show you. So I'm going to turn the podium over to her then. But thank you very, very much. And
good morning.
Sharon Phillips, who is our current acting director, sends her regrets. She had a family obligation, so you get just Cynthia, as I'm known, because the last name is so hard to pronounce.
Try to talk into the microphone if you can, even if you have to pick it up a little bit.
Okay. Is that better?
Yes.
I just wanted to give you a couple statistics about what we do. We cover upper New York State, 55 counties, from Yonkers to the Canadian border, from the Hudson all the way to Niagara Falls. That's a lot of people. We have at the moment about 37,000 patrons, readers. The sad thing is that we're losing about 2,000 patrons a year. Now, some of that has got to be because of technology. Kids coming up through school who've got computers, who are computer literate, aren't waiting for our books to come through the mail. They're getting their books elsewhere. And I applaud that. I think that's good. On the other hand, the largest age group of our new patrons, like 70% of our new patrons, fall in the age range from 60 to 80 or to 90. That's the seniors with age-related blindness or age-related visual disabilities. These people die, of course, but a lot of these people are signed up for our system by social workers, by mobility trainers, by well-meaning sons and daughters, as soon as they find out they have this problem. You have to stop and put yourself in their shoes. They've been independent, visually independent, for how many years, and all of a sudden they can't see. So they're busy trying to figure out how to fix their morning coffee without spilling it, how to cook dinner without burning themselves, how to make sure their socks match when they get dressed in the morning. They're focused on very, very basic survival issues, which are second nature to most of you. So thinking about the library, that's something extra and out there and not of importance. That's leisure stuff. So it's not until they've coped with establishing their independence that they can think about us, and by then it's gone. The people who would help them find us aren't around. Maybe you know some people. Maybe you'll come across some people who are seeking you out once they've established their independence to get involved in your community, that you can remind them about us. The other group I'm concerned about are the veterans. There are a lot of our young men and women coming back from Iraq with traumatic brain injuries, which affect their visual abilities. They learn about us from the veterans' medical system, but again, their focus is on getting well, getting independent, getting back to their lives. So it's not till 6 months or a year down the road that they might want to read a book, not be able to read a book, and not know about us or remember about us. So you might run into these groups too, and I would appreciate it if you would tell them about us. We have about 17,000 Braille titles. We have about 54,000 RC cassette titles. We have a total of 74,248 unique titles in our library, about 632,831 items at last count. In October, we circulated 38,916 titles, RCs, Braille books, and described videos. BARD, which Mark was just telling you about, we have 18 people registered in our library to access BARD. And we have Web Braille. How many of you use Web Braille? Well, see, Georgia might be doing better than we are. In New York State, we only have 118 people registered for Web Braille, and many of those are schools who find that that's the cheapest and easiest way for them to get the Braille textbooks or storybooks that their young elementary school kids need. Web Braille. Call us up. We'll register you for Web Braille. If you have a computer at home that... The nice thing about this is it's one of the first opportunities for us to help you have your own library at home. The other thing that this BARD project is good for, again, once we get the digital book flashcards on the market, is that you'll be able to download and have your own books on the shelf You know, I must get into my collected works of Jane Austen. About every 6 years I pull that out. And it's nice to have your own books. This is it. This is the digital book. And I'd be glad afterwards to have it around where everyone can see it. It's a little bigger than a credit card. It's thicker than a credit card. It has a hole in one end, so you know which end you hold to put it into the player, which is right here. And Deborah Toomey from National Library Service was visiting us the last couple of days, and she went to Vermont to visit her mother, so she's coming back into Albany to fly out tomorrow. So she let me keep it overnight as long as I kept it safe. There aren't very many of them, and I'll let you know what's going on. There, we requested $19.1 million. We are approved for $12.5 million. If Congress votes a budget, if Congress does every month that goes by that they don't vote a budget, that's that much further in the hole we get, and that much longer it will be before we can really get the project going. The latest I have is that it will be January of 2009 before the first run of digital players comes off the assembly line. There will be 60,000 of them, which means based upon our patrons, New York State will get 753. Senator Mary Landrieu of Louisiana has promised to try to get our full funding restored in one of the budget bills, if a budget bill goes through. I'm not allowed to lobby the government because this has a direct impact on my job, but you can, and you need to call Hillary's office and Chuck's office and your state congressional office.
She didn't say that. I did.
Okay. Because we need them to know this is not a special library. This is a public library. You pay your taxes. Blind people pay taxes. They have a right to public library service. And yes, I would like to keep my job. However, I'm a public librarian at heart. I'm not a special librarian. I want my patrons to have the books they want to read when they want to read them. And so I'm begging you to make some phone calls and see what you can do to help. Funding has been a real serious issue. Our budget hasn't gone up any more than Mark's has, even though we're located in the State Library building. We're in the sub-basement, and library development for the state is on the 10th floor. They don't even remember that we're a public library. So it's really a problem. Which if you could be a little more vocal with the politicians might help us a little. I wanted to ask if anybody here might be interested in helping the New York State Talking Book and Braille Library form a friends group. We do not have a friends group. We have no volunteers. And as our staffing levels decrease, it's harder and harder for us to do outreach and other things that we need to do to serve the population that needs our books. So if anybody is interested or you know someone who might be interested in helping us establish a friends group, call the library, ask to speak to Sharon or Cynthia, and if we can find enough interested people, we'll start doing the legal work to get such a thing up and going. We want a friends group to help us with outreach. We want a friends group to represent us with politicians for funding issues. We need a friends group to help publicize who we are, where we are, what we're doing. Sometimes we need a friend group to help us with fundraising for special projects. We have, I think, 17 people in New York State who are qualified for what National Library Service calls the 10 Squared Club. They're over 100. Because New York State is so big and we serve 55 counties, contacting these people, getting them together to have some sort of celebration to honor them is really not feasible. That's something that a friends group could help us do because we just don't have the staff or the budget to do it. So I think that's all the things I wanted to – oh, no, I have one more new thing. We have an OPAC. Andrew High School has a very nice one. They've had one up for a long time. We're finally catching up. You know, when you're working with 20th century technology, it takes a little while to get caught up to where you ought to be. It's an online catalog. Anybody can access it, look at our collection, see what we've got. If you're a member, you can put in your ID and patron number and put books on your list for us to send to you. I brought about a dozen Braille copies of the instructions for using the OPAC, and I hope I can find a safe place to put them so that you can get them. If you run out and you want one, you can just call the library, and I would be glad to send them to you. So where do you think I should go so people can see this?
Do you have these copies?
The copies I have over there.
The OPEC? Okay.
Yeah.
Julie?
Yes.
You're going to take those copies, aren't you, and then people can come and see you.
Sure.
I'll Julie
give them to Julie.
Julie is right up front to your left at the head
okay.
table.
Wait a minute. Carl, you weren't here. She has a sample of what the new digital player is going to be like. I would suggest that if you go to the back of the room and people can come and
okay.
see you as soon as we adjourn here.
Yeah.
But before you do that, you can show us up here.
Hold on. Why not? I'm not ready for a door prize. I want to congratulate the Upstate Talking Book Library and put a challenge to Mark. Upstate Talking Library has been a very good friend and partner with us in Newsline. They have staff dedicated to get the word out for us on Newsline, and we constantly get people signing up from Upstate for Newsline. And I just would ask Mark to get in touch with Upstate, find out what they've been doing, and see, can you partner with us to do the same thing for Downstate patrons? Thank you. Thank you. I have time here for two questions. I will take the first two names that I hear, not the first two names necessarily that are called out. When you call out your name, if you'd stand, Mike will bring a mic to you. Mike, while you're doing that, could you run outside and find out from Linda or somebody with knowledge where the student and where the dog guide luncheons are going to be, what rooms?
Linda, where are the dog guide luncheons?
Schreiber. Okay. To the left as we exit? To the left. To the right as we exit. Okay. Okay. I can announce that then. I got it in my head. Okay. I'll do that. Questions? Arthur Jacobs? You're first. Okay. Mike is bringing a mic to Arthur. This is for who? Mark or Cynthia?
For Mark.
For Mark.
The mic's not on.
Mic is on.
Okay. My question is, I just recently found out about the NYPL program. But it only allows you to check out 12 items at a time for a three-week period. I was wondering if that can be increased for members of the Haskell Library.
I don't know. I will dig the piece of paper out of my pocket and write myself a note about that. That's worth looking into. Yeah, ENYPL is something that we've been tweaking periodically. Every few months we either discover from a vendor things that we can do, or we find from trial and error things that have been working or things that haven't been working. I don't know that that's an unreasonable request. I don't know if that means that the IT people need to configure. I don't know. I will certainly look into it, though.
That is about as honest and fair an answer as I can ask for. Another question? Bamrick. Okay. This is for Upstate, apparently, given where you live. All right. That was fair. One up and one down. Bamrick.
Thank you.
There's a question for Cynthia, I assume.
Yes, this is for Cynthia, and actually it's a general question. I was made to the understanding you just mentioned a 753 figure that's going to go out to New York State, and I was made to understand that library employees, then blinded veterans, and then the general populace would receive the new digital machines. Is this correct, and will there be a lottery system implemented?
You're hoping for alphabetical, right?
Well, maybe, but I'm just asking in general for everybody's knowledge if there's going to be a lottery system implemented about how the rest of those machines will be distributed. Thank you.
We haven't decided yet because they keep pushing back the time. I think we're going to have to go with veterans first, but not all veterans. We're going to find out which ones are interested. And then we've been asked to maybe think about those of our patrons who have trouble with our C1 cassette player, which might be some of the 10 squared people or people with other physical disabilities in addition to visual disabilities. After that, We're not quite sure. All the libraries are talking about whether to do a lottery, whether to do it based on how long you've been a member, whether to go to new members first. We just honestly don't know. There's so few players that it's really scary because nobody's going to be happy.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Cynthia. We have the prerogative of the chair. We have a comment by Mr. Lewis, Reverend Dr. Bishop Lewis from Georgia. All right, right here, on my right side.
Okay. Once again, I won't be long. I just want to make a quick comment, and this is in the onus of education. As we move forward toward advocating for more money for the National Library Services, a couple of key components I want you to keep in mind. It was mentioned very slightly, you know, this is a public library. But in the current times we live in, there's such a dumbing down of this country. And for us not to acknowledge the importance of the public library system, you know, would be a real error in our part. But some of the things that are taking place are people are convincing us or trying to convince us that, oh, well, the mainstream now is for recorded book material. So you can go to a regular bookstore and get a Random House book. And I'm just going to tell you from my own personal experience since I've started school, and I'll elaborate on this at the student luncheon. There is no quality of provision of audio recordings equal to the National Library Service. RFB and D, all of those, you know, they provide them. But, I mean, I'm listening to a college-level textbook that's pronouncing Latin words inappropriately. That's got, you know, all in the recording. And how do they expect you to learn? I actually had an opportunity to visit the National Library Service, and the amount of quality control they have in producing those materials is just overwhelming. And for anyone to try to fool us into thinking that some other mainstream publishing house is doing the quality of job that we require, you know, you wouldn't expect a library book to be okay with misprints and smudge type and that kind of thing. So we don't expect that from our public library service system either. So as we move forward toward advocating, we have to make sure that the powers that be understand that the level of quality that's provided by the National Library Service really is unequal. So that's all I want to make sense.
Laurie, is it quick? I said only two questions. Quick.
I just want to ask if the Downstate Library is forming a friends group also, and if not, why not?
Mark, you need friends?
I signed up for something on the internet a while back, one of these social things, and when you first start on signing on with one of those things, it comes up and it says, you have no friends. How depressing is that? We have a support group. We have a friends group. Yes, our Citizens Advisory Council, which meets quarterly, and which they do help get the word out to perform those functions. Yes, yeah, they do. They do. They go out there. They make the calls. They raise money in terms of like we're having a bake sale or something. No. But in terms of doing the lobbying and the political support and the helping to spread the word, yes. And that's great and valuable work. The need for the Reader's Advisor staffing needs to be hard money and not something that's contingent on money that is raised in that manner. We need to have that actually like baselined into a budget for personnel. And personnel is the key thing that makes the hours work. But there are other areas such as the equipment, such as materials, where that kind of fundraising is very valuable.
Thank you, Mark. Laurie, Ray Wayne is a member of that Citizens Advisory Council that Mark referred to, and I think when he gets out of bed, we will put this to him. Mark, what I can tell you is that you have a friends group right in this room. And we will endeavor to do what it takes for both up and downstate libraries to keep the service going, to grow the service, and to improve the service with whatever contacts it takes. Ray can probably bring back some information on how we can do that. He is a regular participant in the Citizens Advisory Council at the high school library.